touch the bottom of the list. So story, story heavy and roll. So we can talk about the smart things. Yeah, 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 open it you. I got about the big things. So we can talk about the smart things. So yeah, 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 open it you. Rara o, rara o, yeah. Tabaga, jambaga, tabaga, bulabaga, rara o, yeah, yeah, yeah. You already blessed me, amen. Say you could bless me too, amen. That's your papa, oh, amen. That's your mama, oh, amen. You already blessed me, amen. Say you could bless you too, amen. Bless your papa, oh, amen. Bless your mama, oh, yeah. See me, I see you, yeah. Batura for me, yeah. Loke, loke, oh, papa. Say fix the situation. Get back your money. Take it to water nation. Invest for your country. Oh. Make it a better place. Spend the money for your country. Oh. Make it a better place. Forget about the big things. Oh. So make it talk about the smart things. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Good morning, Lagos. This is Dr. Weebabur on Power Solutions on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM. We are here today on a special, on the special Eid holiday. So, Baraka da Salah to everybody out there listening. The show must go on even when there's a holiday. So we're here today with two special guests. They have a great, a very interesting story that we're going to learn about today. So first of all, it's Joseph Inyang, who's the CTO of Just Stand Out, which is an energy company. And then we have Owen Inyang, who's a the CMO of the same company. And they'll explain why they have the same last name, I guess. So, but we're going to start. Let's be gender sensitive and we're going to let Owen start. So, Owen, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, can you tell us about your background and how you ended up in the energy space?
Okay, my background is in marketing. I did a master's degree in international marketing, and I, you know, just saw that the situation in Nigeria was really bad, the power situation, and I kept wondering what, you know, we could do, because I'd gone to different countries or watched TV at least and seen that, you know, different countries were able to have uninterrupted power supply. And in my quest for this, I met Joseph and we started a company together in trying to, you know, solve the power situation. So we started doing power backup for banks, the ATM machines and things like that. And eventually we got married.
After starting a company. That's really interesting.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go over to Joseph. And by the way, if on the show I call him Sam, it's because I knew his older brother Sam from Joss from about 30 years ago. So, but Joseph, I got it right this time.
Yes.
So yeah, if you can talk about it too. I know we were talking a lot outside before the show about your experience with power before you left Nigeria in 1984 and then how things changed when you came back many years later. So maybe you can talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, thanks for having me on the show. Again, where do we start? Really, I grew up in a country, as he was saying, that when lights would go off where I was, it would normally happen next to a lightning strike. Whether it was in Calabar, whether it was in Lagos, whether it was in Abao, or wherever I was, that's really what would happen. The only other time that that would happen would be really when a maintenance was going to take place. And that would be preceded by a radio announcement from Monday to Friday saying that they were going to take down the lines for maintenance between 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock. that happened in this country.
So you could plan for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So that's actually a country I grew up in. However, as things continued, the power situation continued degenerating. I was, by the time I finished my HND, and my youth corps, the situation was still okay, which was in the 1980s. And, I left, and was out of country for about 20 something years. And coming back every time, the situation was really getting horrible. And, we talked amongst our friends and said, what is something that if you do in Nigeria that will help alleviate the situation? And the answer came back to being power.
Mm-hmm.
Power. And more so energy as a mm-hmm. whole, not just electricity, because right. we also have gas.
Right.
We also have refined products to make the cars move. So an energy whole setup. So we were looking at what do we do? We went ahead and set up a group called Nigerians for Super Energy. And okay. we went around the country talking to people. That was when the late Yar'Adua had promised he was going to create a state of emergency on the energy sector.
Right.
That really didn't happen, and we lost him.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the things that really encouraged us to come back mm-hmm. and to start looking at the energy sector, especially the power sector, to see what can be done. As we were doing the advocacy, people told us, well, since the government is not moving fast enough, what can individuals like us mm-hmm. do? And so that's when we decided to set up the company. I met Onwe, actually through my sister, and she was then working for Cisco. And
okay.
What happened then was that she also was interested in what I was talking about. We actually had an interesting discussion as to what had more impact, whether it was computers or whether it was power.
Okay.
Yeah, let me chime in there. What was more important was bridging the digital divide or bridging the kilowatt divide.
Okay.
That was the discussion we were having then. And I was trying to impress on him that the digital divide needed to be bridged immediately. We couldn't
right.
wait. And I was going to help the power sector. And he was saying, no, the kilowatt divide needed to be bridged first to be able to impact the digital divide.
Right, because we can't close the digital divide if we
without
have no
the,
power.
Yes,
exactly.
Without the kilowatt divide.
Okay,
absolutely.
All right.
So, she was very helpful.
Okay. So you won that argument?
Obviously.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And, that's why she decided to get on board.
Okay.
During that time and up till tomorrow, what we did was constantly go and talk to all the stakeholders
right.
then. We had spoken to the Nigerian Labour Congress,
mm-hmm.
which I had said then that the idea of going on strikes and asking for increase in salaries really doesn't work until we fix our energy situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever salary increase you get
mm-hmm.
is going to be eaten up
mm-hmm.
by your energy cost.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked to them. We went to churches, we went to the mosques,
mm-hmm.
And we talked to all the leaders that we could talk to. And when we were going around the country, either to TV or radio stations,
mm-hmm.
They were very glad to let us speak
right.
Freely. Because to me, that is the situation. We also talked with the Nigerian Medical Association there. And one of the things that we used to say, and we continue to say, we are losing more lives due to the lack of energy
right.
than we are to mosquitoes or malaria stuff.
Right.
And
that's actually a shocking reality.
Yeah, yes, we are.
Yeah.
And then one of the YouTube ads that we made then was a play on what we call the MasterCard priceless ad.
Right. Okay.
We actually said electricity is priceless.
Right.
So we said billions of dollars for food.
Right.
Billions of dollars for AIDS. Billions of dollars for this.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity, priceless.
Right.
It was a short ad. It's
right.
still on there. I think we put it up in 2006.
Okay.
But really, for us, energy is so important.
Mm-hmm.
If we crack it, we can compete with any country out
right.
there.
Right.
If we do not, we will never never be able to do that. And we'll talk lately about what we think are the solutions, because as we have been in here in the industry for quite a long time, we have come up with different things. She's just talking about the kilowatt divide. Before, it used to be called the challenge we'll overcome. It never had a name. But a few years ago, it had the name, which was the kilowatt divide, because it was looking at it. And we actually have this chat for you on the radio. May not be able to see this, but this is a chat that we did. It has changed since then, but this just shows you exactly what the kilowatt divide is in pictures.
Talk to us a bit about it. Just describe it so we know it.
It's a chart here that shows exactly, on one side shows the population and on the other side the shows megawatts. Your megawatts. According to the CIA fact books, we have Brazil, 202 million. They generate 156,000 megawatts. We are 178 million. Some people actually say 200, but according to the facts we use, is this thing. Install capacity, we have 11.
And the actual...
On a good day,
on a good day
we are doing between 4 and 5. And when we drop to low levels as 1,000. This is really what this chart shows. Like I said, we believe this is the challenge we'll overcome. It's a kilowatt divide. And when we go back to the digital divide today, great-grandma can call.
Speak to anyone she wants.
I remember my late parents, it used to take us about a month sometimes to call through in the 80s.
And we'd have to go to Nitel.
Absolutely.
Go in those booths, shout, yell. To make the international calls.
But that's all gone again because it was decentralized, which we'll come to later on because we have a whole, acronym called DC, which we will talk about later on how to solve the issue.
So, but let's go to Owen. So even though you guys decided to focus on the kilowatt divide, I guess per Sam's, no, not Sam, Joseph's point, the digital divide has actually been to some extent closed.
Bridged,
Why do you think that happened? I mean, why did that one work, and why are we still talking about power problems when, you know, we should have solved that one?
Okay, the digital divide was bridged because everyone got on board. The country had a lot of people. The fiber optics, the cables that were dropped, and things like that. Mobile phones, GSM, all those helped in bridging the digital divide. And the freedom in the country to be able to get these licenses, and for the GSM operators, because at a point in time during the Abacha regime, GSM was stalled. So I got on board then. I was working for a company then, Western Pacific, and then when MTN came to Nigeria, we're the founding members of MTN. So we started with MTN, and that has helped to bridge the digital divide over time. All hands on board. Now the kilowatt divide needs to be bridged with the licenses that are being given, but I don't think things are being done fast enough by the government. And that's why the alternative energy arm has come in. I know that the Renewable Energy Agency of Nigeria is doing a lot to energize the market.
It's the Rural Electrification Agency, actually.
Agency of Nigeria to energize the markets, energize the universities and places like that. So that's helping, but it's not helping fast enough, because like you saw from the chat, if we're still at 11,000 kilowatts of installed capacity and we're 200 million people, we would need at least 100,000 megawatts of installed capacity for the needle to move at all. And in that period, don't forget that the population is still going to increase. And more devices are going to come online. I was just discussing with him today that we're still in 3G. We haven't gone to 4G or 5G
and
yet.
And everyone else is talking.
We haven't gone there yet. So we don't even know what the possibilities are and the demand on power will be. So I think with time and with people getting to know what the challenge is, because most people don't even know what the challenge is. Even some people in the PHC, and when we show them the charts, they are amazed. That, are you serious? It's just 11,000 installed capacity we have in Nigeria. So even people in the sector can't imagine
how far behind we are.
We are. And I think we all need to work together. last week I was, or a few weeks ago, I was at an event, mm-hmm. and I met a fellow person in the energy sector, and she was like, oh, why are we all here? Why are we, you know, aren't we competitors? I said, no. Even if all of us in this room were to be able to provide power for Nigeria, it still would not be enough. We don't have enough to be able to do that on our own.
Right.
So the more we come together, because everyone using their generators on their own, we are producing more in that sense. But if those generators were linked, of course everyone will have enough power and even more than that.
Right.
So let's take that model and take it into the renewable energy or alternative energy sector and see if we provide our own alternative energy and we can use it instead of wasting it and maybe go back to the grid. When the grid becomes intelligent, it will go faster.
Okay, so let's pivot now to your company. So let's, you know, talk to us about, it's Just Stand Out is the name of the company.
Correct.
So if maybe, Joseph, if you can talk to us a bit about how it started, and obviously I'm sure it's evolved over the last 15 years as the power sector has opened up a bit and it's been deregulated. So maybe tell us how you started and then where it is now.
Okay. I will hand the...
Oh, you're going to hand over to...
intro to her and then I'll pick up from there.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, Just Stand Out is an electrical and mechanical company, and we provide off-grid and on-grid solutions to individuals or corporate organizations that have an interest in reducing their carbon footprint. So that's where we focus on. Now, the company is divided into three main arms. The alternative energy arm, where we provide solar solutions, off-grid solutions. The electrical and mechanical arm, where we sell electrical products and also give electrical services, because we're also a Schneider partner.
Okay.
So anything that Schneider does in Nigeria are able to do.
Okay.
So from building panels to selling the, or providing solutions for energy efficiency in a building, maintenance and things like that. And then lastly, we have our consulting and training arm, where we provide consultation and then we train. We train either your company or we train people at our own facilities. Okay, lastly, about Just Stand Out, we have a not-for-profit arm called Light Up a Precious Life, where we provide alternative energy solutions to rehab centers. So people who are rehabilitating from drug use and things like that, elderly homes, and then motherless babies' homes. So we provide the solutions as well as maintain them.
And that's funded from the profits from your company?
Yes, correct.
Fantastic. Most people wait till they have multi-billion dollar companies before they do that. So you've done it before you become a multi-billion dollar
company. You do the little you have with what you have, and then it will grow from there.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. So now over to Joseph.
So now that she's done the introduction, really, like we said earlier on, people were asking what can individuals do. So that's when we then got into the business. First, we actually started off by working with Samuel because he had already gotten into that business because he was trying to power his ISPs. And we used to collaborate a lot when I was permanently in the States.
Okay.
So what we found out that the batteries were the heart of whatever you did.
Right.
And it's still.
So, and the cost and the biggest cost.
Yes.
And so we started off with that by trying to source battery manufacturers for him. At one time, we even looked at recycling lead acid batteries, but that was not that was actually not successful.
Right.
But we settled on lead acid batteries. We worked with some manufacturers in China, and then we started off with that, and then we went in that. One of the most important things that we did, almost like from week one, was to focus on efficiencies. We did that on paper. And so the first few installations of inverters we did, we actually advised people to get compact fluorescent light bulbs then. But guess what? They did not. So the installations that were supposed to last for 10 hours practically were doing 6 hours. So, so when we asked, but did you do that? They said no.
Not yet.
So what we did after that was every installation came with 20 free compact fluorescent light bulbs.
Okay.
By doing that, we changed the whole situation.
Right.
And so from that, then we actually also worked with a company from China as well to work on inverters that we branded as well.
Okay. And but they were made there.
Yes, yeah. they were made there. Actually, okay. China, Taiwan, depending on who you talk to. Yeah,
right.
They're still the same country politically. So that's what we did, and we also worked with very. I would call the higher end products, which were Xantrex then, now owned by Schneider, Outback, and the rest of them. So we worked with those companies in order to make sure stuff, because one of the things you find out is that people go out there and do installations that they've not done the load calculations properly.
Right, okay.
And also...
Well, it's the same way people buy generators. They just buy a generator and they don't even test whether that's the capacity they need, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that happens with even generators that are used for backup is most people do not know that you have several categories of generators. There's the prime generator, which is supposed to run 24/7. There's a backup generator that is just supposed to run a few hours. So when people doing IPPs and they're using backup generators instead of prime generators, they run into that.
Right.
The other thing also that happens in country with generators is that most people, the smaller size generators, most people just connect them onto their system without separating the load.
Right.
So what happens is you end up having to turn off your ACs and the rest of them
manually. After it has...
And most of the times you forget. So what happens, the small generator you're using goes off.
Right.
So when we started our installations, we made sure that we divided the electrical circuits. Your small generator, most people actually have, I wouldn't say most people, there are quite a lot of people, industries that have actually two generators. So for the less critical loads, you want to separate that. And the advice I give to people who currently still do not have funds to go into solar yet, when you have a small generator, make sure that you separate your load and have it so that you have the small generator only carry the small loads so that you don't have to run around the house, you know, saying you have not turned this off, you've not turned that off. The other thing I find out is a lot of people use one horsepower water pumps.
Right.
Most of our clients that we have talked to and introduced have horsepower pumps. And those can be carried by your inverter.
Right.
Nicely.
Right.
The other thing about some people also want to use their ACs on inverters. What I tell them, as I told my lovely wife here, was that duvets are only used during the winters.
Right.
In the summer, we take them out. So here, there's no winter. Why do we need duvets? What happens is people set their ACs to 16 degrees Celsius.
I'm guilty of that.
You know, and then sometimes you get so cold, you can't even stand up and go to the bathroom because it's so cold. So you wait for some time until you're looking for the remote control to turn it off. So you're using a ton of this.
So
what do you do? According to this thing, if you put it at 2023, your battery bank, again, we talked about the most investment out there, is able to carry that out. So there are a lot of behavioral changes. Motion sensors, there's also what we call present sensors now. All those things can help to make sure that your power that you actually use is reduced drastically so you can afford
the backup
power.
So our issue is not just that there's a power short, we have too little power, but also the power we have, we're not using it efficiently.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we're actually running out of time already. It's gone really fast. Let me ask you now. So you've been in this industry now over 10 years.
Yes.
In the last few years, obviously, you've seen so many new people come in. You know, off-grid energy, renewables is now the trend. It's the new cool thing to be part of. But you guys have been in it from the beginning. So what have you seen evolving in the industry? And do you think we're going in the right direction fast enough?
I think we're going in the right direction. And we're never ever going to go fast enough.
Right.
Because there's an acute backup. Excuse my pun of, you know, demand versus availability.
Right.
So yes, we're not going fast enough, but we're going in the right direction.
Right.
For one, we're not waiting for the government to do everything for us.
Right.
We're you see a lot of people now not just doing backup with the inverter and the batteries alone, but also providing solar solutions. So you see a lot of solar home solutions that are either pay as you go or not pay as you go, connected to the grid. And people can store the energy and use later. And you can use this in the villages and you can use it in the city. Wherever you are, you can use them. And there's no regulation out there for 1 megawatt and below. So you can generate it for your estates. You can generate it for a group of friends or people or what have you. So it's going in the right direction, I'll say.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Joseph, so final word. Is there light at the end of the tunnel for Nigerians?
Yeah, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I go back to the acronym we created, which is DC. And that's D for decentralization, S for storage, E for efficiencies, and A for artificial intelligence.
Okay.
All those things are going to combine to make us leapfrog where we are today.
Right.
Just like it happened in the telecom, we're going to do that. Today, the key of keys is lithium ion. As you know, part of All On's funding is the Nigerian Climate
Innovation Center.
Innovation Center, which I am part of. We're looking at lithium ion in the project we're working on. And we thank you for the support there. Storage is key of keys, and lithium today is our best bet.
Right.
We hope that in the next few years we'll be able to start assembling or as well as produce in country.
Okay.
Because that's your best bet. Elon Musk is pushing that, forcefully.
Right.
He single-handedly a few years was able to reduce the prices, and they will continue to do that. The Chinese government is behind it 100%. So with things like that, so you go from a 2-3 year lifespan to a 10-year lifespan. So your cost of ownership of that product really reduces. We're doing some calculations the other day, and I for good lithium ion batteries that we're working on, it's about 734 naira per day.
Okay.
If I were to put that investment in front of you, you know, that's over a 10-year time period, sorry, over a 7-year time period. That's something that somebody would likely consider.
Right, right.
But if I tell you the capex up front, you know, you'll be saying, okay, this is it. But lithium ion is the best way to go. And like say, Tesla has established that it is possible. They went into Australia to solve the problems there.
Right.
And in lots of other places, they've done that. So that's what we believe it's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's good to know. Thank you for all of the experience that you've brought to the listeners today. This is Joseph. I got it right this time, right? Good. Joseph and Owen Inyang. This is the literal power couple of Nigeria. And they've shared a lot of their insights and experience from the power sector and building a company together as a husband and wife. And we thank you for coming on the show today, and we hope we'll have you back again soon.
And thank you very much for having us.
All right. And so to the listeners in Lagos, enjoy your Eid holiday, and we'll be back next week for more discussions on power solutions.
Thank you.
Thanks.